it's your show, mister.
All right, let's get started. So for those of you that don't know me, I'm Tim Corrigan. I'm representing District 1, which is basically South Rock County, and I am the current chairman of the board, which is why I'm speaking right now. So I'll let my fellow commissioners introduce themselves.
Beth Melton. I represent District 3, which is a primarily all in Steamboat. I have no title other than commissioner currently.
Doug Munger, Rock County District 2, Rock County Commissioner. So, and I represent West Route, North Route, and basically that's it too. Yeah, thank you guys for all coming.
So we're here, I think, more to listen to you folks. I mean, concerns that you have, but I suppose it would help if maybe we, the three of us, just tag teamed on some quick updates about what's going on with the county. So I'll let you guys start. Why don't you start with talking about some of the things that you're working on, Beth?
Absolutely. So the first that I'll highlight is our master plan update. We have our planning director here today, Chad Phillips. Thank you for joining us. And so the previous master plan was written in, 2005. 2003. Thanks, Chad. That's why he's here. That's why he's bringing. That document really guides the vision for land use planning across the county, the unincorporated areas, and then also how our planning efforts align with those of the municipalities, which control their own efforts. And so that plan identifies things like how we protect open space, where development goes, what that development looks like, updating that process, updating that document, the process really needs to involve the community. And so where we are at right now is collecting as much input and feedback as we can about what folks see as the issues that should be addressed in that update and where we should go. Chad has some cards he can hand you. Thank you, Chad. We have an online survey currently, and that's the starting point for that process. And so we would encourage everyone to participate and tell your friends, share that out. The current survey is planned to run through the middle of February. And then we'll have some more targeted public outreach related to the specific topics that are identified for that update. And so it's a really important opportunity to shape the vision for the future of Brough County and what that looks like. The second item the only other thing I was going to talk about today, there's plenty to talk about, but that I think is of most interest, is that I am with Commissioner Ray Beck, who is a Moffat County commissioner, serving on the State Dust Transition Advisory Committee. And so that is an office that was created by legislation last year to identify supports to provide to communities that are being impacted by the energy transition and the retirement of coal-fired power plants. And so obviously we all understand the situation here in Hayden, and these are hard things. And I think Commissioner Beck and I feel really committed to bringing the perspective of Northwest Colorado and helping folks around the state to understand what these impacts look like when these transitions happen, and to be a part of planning for those transitions, identifying resources. And so those efforts are ongoing. There's nothing very concrete about it yet, Commissioner Beck actually stepped in as the vice chair of that committee, and so we're really committed to doing that work together, and would welcome any comments or feedback or ideas that we might bring to that work at the state level.
So before I turn it over to Doug, was remiss in not introducing some of the other folks that are here from the county. County Manager Tom Sullivan. We have Kendra Alfieri, who is our office manager, and Deanna Sanchez, who also helps us in our office. So thank you, you guys, for coming out and setting up the microphones.
Do you
apparently
want to introduce our other
department? Oh, yeah, we have
Kevin.
Yeah, we get this guy Kevin from the airport, and Jill from the fairgrounds, and of course, Chad, our planning director. So, sorry, I forgot to introduce all those folks. Doug?
So I guess, speaking of Kevin, Crown Jewel of West Route ends up being the Hayden Yampa Valley Regional Airport. So, and we're excited that Kevin's got a plan. We're moving forward with a terminal expansion on that thing. We were really excited for the town of Hayden, as well as our passengers and private flights coming in with the relocation and the new terminal or the new sub-terminal of Atlantic Aviation. So, positive things going on out there, and I think it's very positive for the community. And I'll guarantee you, Hayden's very blessed to be having that airport out here at this point in time. In the past, a lot of people would have thought twice back in the old days whether we needed to have an airport here. But anyhow, it's a great thing, and the airport's doing great. Kevin's being a great leader with that project. So I don't know, Kevin, I'm going to turn it over to you for a second if you want to talk anymore. Do you have anything else you want to add to that? I mean, timeline on the...
Sure. So,
on the terminal? Yes, please.
I'm like talking to you behind me, but...
Hold on, you're going to have to speak into the microphone.
Oh, do I? You too, really?
This is being recorded.
We're just recording. It's just for recording.
Okay. Well, thanks. We just are in the process of signing a contract with a contractor out of Grand Junction, FCI, so they will be showing up early May. We'll break ground on the changes to the terminal. Not giant changes, but important changes. So we will expand, add a hold room, and expand the ticketing area, and then do some upgrades that will improve the environmentals. And the main thing that we'll get out of that, so it'll run from May 1st sometime in November, but at the end of the project, what we'll have is the ability to bring in another airline, should one want to come. I'm not promising that there's one teed up to come in, but right now we have five, which is pretty good for a mountain resort airport like ours, but a sixth would be welcome, and if one was knocking on the door right now, we really wouldn't have a place to put them, so we're full. So this will give us the ability to expand that way. So we've got a couple other things going on up there. We're going to do some changes to support the rental car industry up there. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that we have already seen record-breaking traffic into the new facility that Commissioner Munger mentioned. So the FBO invested about $10 million in that facility up there, so it's a significant investment in the airport structure there. And they have already drawn significant traffic from a couple of our peer competitors in Jackson Hole and in Aspen, where, Chad, if you bring your Gulfstream 650 in, you cannot stay on the apron there. You can't park it and stay there. So it's got to find another place to stay overnight or for the week. And so a lot of that traffic is now coming to Hayden, believe it or not, which is good for us. So that's revenue for the airport and the FBO and fuel sales, all those things that go along with that. So I'm not sure we completely anticipated that increase in revenue, but it's happening. So it's good news. So I'll take any questions at the end if you have any for the airport.
That sounds good.
Thank you.
So I guess I wanted to follow up on what Commissioner Melton was talking about the energy movement. So, and again, Commissioner Melton and I both attended I classed it more as a funeral down at Tri-State's private meeting that they had. So, and it was kind of like, well, it was a good thing while we were going. He was a good guy when he was here, and all those kind of things. It was pretty, and again, it's not like we haven't seen the handwriting on the wall, and it's not like we don't know what's happening to XLPUC out here as well. I think one of our biggest challenges is trying to make sure that we can get as many resources from outside to try and help us mend over into the new environment that we're going to be working in. So, I mean, you know, I'm concerned about our workers, but I'm less concerned about the workers than I am about our communities, and I've been very vocal on that all along, whether it's the school board and our property tax that we just passed, whether it's in West Drought or whether it's the fire protection district, and, you know, and especially, you know, our Route County revenues, you know, it's going to hit us when in 2030, 2037, when the power plant shut down. But, you know, we're more sheltered with the tourism economy and the residential growth that we've all achieved out of that, that has come with that. But for the West Drought communities and the rest, I mean, we have to figure out how we're in, you know, and again, I think there's some responsibility that lies with the state and the feds. And we're working with Senator Bennett and Senator Gardner, as well as our local representatives as well, to try to come up with some methods to, you know, try to keep us a little bit whole. And again, you can, I've said in public meetings, you know, we built coal and coal-fired power, built America during the 1950s to 1940s to the 2000, and you can't just throw us on the side of the curb or throw us under the bus when you got to walk away. So, you know, we need some help to transition. And whether that's the town of Hayden, when we're helping with the Hayden and the school moving, and economic vitality. So I think that's a big thing that we want to be moving forward on. So I'll quit. We did come to listen to you guys as well, too. So thank you.
So kind of following up on what Doug was talking about, you know, I'm really actually quite inspired by the town of Hayden. Not sitting back, but really working hard on community development. I mean, it's obvious the strides that the town of Hayden has made, and it's becoming a really attractive place, and more people are wanting to live here. Frankly, I'm a little bit jealous coming out of South Route, watching Hayden have the economic success that it has, but talking about the challenge of a transition away from a coal industry, someone told me many years ago about talking about economic development, that community development is economic development. And I think a lot of times we get caught up, oh my gosh, we've got to bring in an industry, we've got to create manufacturing, we have to find some new business to come here. But well, the first thing you need to do is take care of your community and make sure that it's a nice place, an attractive place to live. And I think Hayden has really just done an outstanding job of that. My update, I've just got a couple of quick things I want to talk about. We recently completed the construction of the combined law enforcement facility, really big deal, partnership with the city of Steamboat Springs, a $19 million project that we brought in on time and under budget. I think we just saw a return of, Tom, was something like $365,000 out of the original budget back to the city of Steamboat and Route County. So we actually did something pretty unusual in working under budget. Fantastic facility. We've already seen the benefits of the city police force and the Route County deputies working together on a recent murder investigation that you may have heard of, took place up on Rabbit Ears Pass with a body dumped out not far from my house. But they were quick to tell us that the fact that they had city police officers and Route County deputies working in the same building side by side, they were really quickly able to identify the suspects and go get them arrested. The other big thing for Route County was the addition of a brand new state-of-the-art E911 communication center on the upper level of the building. And we kind of added that late in the design process, when we realized that we could get that facility built for something around $800,000, roughly speaking.
Just under $900,000.
Yeah. When we had originally thinking that we were going to need to build an entirely new facility somewhere else, that probably would have cost us $2 million or in that neighborhood. So we feel like we saved a lot of money for Rock County taxpayers by getting that done at the same time that we built the new combined law enforcement facility. I guess the only other thing I would touch on is I sit on the Affordable Yappa Valley Housing Authority, And I think you've probably seen that there's been a lot of success on the part of the Housing Authority in creating a lot of new affordable housing. Granted, it's being focused within the city limits of Steamboat Springs, but there's good reasons for that, having those buildings built right next to public transportation, close to where people are working. So it feels like we're actually making a dent in the housing crisis. I know it's only a dent, but we're making some progress. I have a whole laundry list of things here I can talk about, but we said we really came here to listen to you folks, hear what concerns you might have or suggestions how we could do a better job or requests for help.
Compliments? We take compliments.
We take compliments, yeah. So I would open the floor to any questions or comments. And if not, we can go back to rambling on. So.
I'm going to attempt to go.
That's fine.
Apologize. I'm actually going to meet up here because there's a group of us, but since we're all moms, just ended up being me. and thank you for being here, by the way. It means a lot. I am here to represent the Hayden Area Community Alliance, and we are a group of moms in the area working with the Yampa Valley Sustainability Council to create change in our community. As Hayden residents, we would like to see a greater focus on environmental issues. Hayden is behind the times when it comes to environmental practices, which is negatively affecting the local ecology. In a county that thrives on outdoor activities and tourism, we ask for the county's support in Hayden's implementation of more environmentally friendly practices, such as, and I apologize, I'm reading off this because it's a collective response, minimizing pesticide and herbicide use due to its effects on water quality and surrounding ecosystems, replacing aerial spraying of the mosquito pesticide PERM-X3030, and changing it into integrated pest management systems, which will protect pollinators, our water, and ecosystems, as well as our children. Implementing higher air quality practices, such as non-toxic home chemicals, encouraging public transportation, decreasing in idling in cars. I just love how all over Steamboat are those, like, turn off your car, stop idling. I love that. increased environmental practices, such as recycling. Our Dry Creek Park has no recycling, just as an example, so that would be great. Community gardens, which we are actually working on currently, and more pollinator plants, etc. Wildlife bridges was also something that came up. Increased pollinator-friendly initiatives, more rigorous environmental standards to protect our ecosystems, more comprehensive water testing to assure these pesticides and herbicides and agricultural runoff is within the safe limits, and utilize existing right-of-ways for new trails for recreational purposes, for example, when that railroad is no longer used, making it a bike trail. Some things you guys we really appreciate is you are prioritizing open space. So as a collective, we appreciate that. We love the bus route to Hayden, and would love to even see that increase. My husband is not a fan of getting up to get out there at 6. and then prioritizing the preservation of agriculture and ranching. We really appreciate that. So, thanks. Sorry about that. Hopefully you can hear it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now, do we need to respond?
I
think they're all things that we're working on, and I think they're all things, you know, the difference between governments, and, you know, whether it's a town government or whether it's something that the county takes on, you know, and we're, you know.
We're just looking for, like, support and community. We're just not getting really heard here in Hayden, so.
I think the other thing I would just comment on is our work, and this is a joint project with the City of Steamboat Springs, but on a climate action plan, and inviting you to engage in the public part of that process when we get there. I don't know when that is, but I think that'll be an opportunity to provide some input as well.
Yeah.
Thank you. That'd be great.
I think the other thing to say, too, is thinking of the glass half full versus half empty. A lot of these things that we're already transitioning on and working on. I mean, the transportation and the rest. The mosquito thing, you know, I'd love to have them all go away, but they were a lot worse before. So anyhow, so I don't know the pain and tolerance of not having the spring, you know. So, but anyhow, I think, you know, being continue having conversations about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think, you know, the really big thing on the list that you talked about, I think, is transportation. And I think especially several things. We know that the population in Rock County is expanding. You know, we're looking at numbers where there could be 40-some-odd thousand of us within the next 15 or 20 years. And that's a lot of people. And I think people that live in Hayden, I'm sure, are as aware as anybody the traffic patterns between Steamboat and Hayden. And I think, you know, one of the things that's, for better or for worse, for Craig and Moffat County, I think it increasingly will become a bedroom community to Steamboat Springs and the resort economy that we have. And there'll just be that many more people on the road. So I do think that that's a place that we as commissioners can engage, work in partnerships, and we already do work with the city of Steamboat Springs. We partially fund the bus system that comes from Moffat County into Steamboat Springs. And I'd certainly be in favor of doing what we can to help expand that kind of thing. I think that's a really big deal.
Thank you. And I think as part of our master plan update, the conversation about transportation is going to be part of that. There's infrastructure obviously involved, but then there's a nexus with housing, right? And yeah. So we know that Steamboat Springs is not going to have the ability to accommodate the entirety of the workforce that's needed there. And we've seen that for, I don't know, as long as you guys have been here, I'm sure. Yeah, and so the conversation about transportation is a key part of that as well.
Well, and the bottom line is that, you know, for Moffat County with the energy situation going on now too, I mean, that's 46% with Tri-State shutting down in 2030. That's 46% of their property tax revenue. So, you know, so they will have to do the same transition that Hayden has done too, and just acquiesce to the fact that, you know, whether you like it or not, and the route and the Steamboat and Craig rivalry football games, you need to put them aside. And we'll need to go back into the fact that, you know, we need to support them and they need to support us, and we're living together and we're going to be able to figure out, and we need to be able to get them up there in a equitable fashion, transportation wise. So,
Chad, you have something you want to add?
Yeah, just any of those items on your list that were based in land use, you know, that the master plan could be an opportunity, even a springboard for some of those. The master plan is used partially to make decisions when the Board of County Commissioners and the Planning Commission have land use applications in front of them, but also it includes a list of action items. So basically what the community tells the county during this process, you know, try to list those, prioritize them, and some of those could be in the form of either one of those policy or action items. And it's supposed to everybody, we're putting the word out starting next week that we have a vacancy on our Planning Commission. And one of those positions is or should be an at-large alternate, so anybody in the county could apply. And if you're interested, I've got a card, so you can pass that out to your group. And also, with your group or your alliance, that planning staff, myself, or one of my planners, we're reaching out to anybody that wants to have us speak with your organization. So, like CPW, you know, that we're trying to reach out to those guys too. Hey, your staff meeting or whatever meeting you have, put us on the agenda. We'll come down and talk to you about
that
and use the plan.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
And like Beth said, we like taking compliments, and that was really appreciate the compliment about the work that Rock County has done to preserve open space and preserve our traditional agricultural operations. I make the point to my friends in Steamboat all the time that a lot of what makes Steamboat economically successful is the preservation work that we have done, maintaining open spaces all around the county. And it does come at some expense because, you know, we've basically, as a county, given up the idea of generating sales tax revenue from commercial operations. We've made the decision that those activities should take place within our existing municipalities and support our existing municipalities. So, you know, sometimes I do get frustrated when folks in Steamboat complain about paying property taxes to support our road and bridge infrastructure all around the county. But really, it's a symbiotic relationship. Steamboat could not exist in isolation by itself without the rest of the county, and vice versa. We need them and their economic activity as well.
Waiting for a comment. Do you want
it?
Anyone
else?
Yeah, who else?
Oh, yeah, I was hoping that they understood. Please, Tammy, feel free to speak.
Imagine that, Tammy Delaney, and I'm like, I'm not quite as prepared, but three, maybe four things just I want to keep on the top of all of our minds with transportation. However and whenever there's an opportunity with Union Pacific, and looking at that again, I know Diane Mitch Bush years back.
Looking
at rail as a commuter rail aspect, I don't know if that's ever going to be possible, but I cannot help but feel the conversation is very different than it was 10 years ago when we first had the Greenway. We were looking at 40.
Or 30 years trains. Ago.
Yeah.
Ben pushed the hard too. Ben Bell did, so yeah.
And I did ride on the last passenger train on Steamboat. Very terrifying at 2 or 3 years old, but it's. I know what's been done, and I can't help but think that we've done it again. And speaking of kind of that transportation issue, had the pleasure of walking home the other day, and it's amazing. But how do we also look long term, especially in the master planning process? As far as some of the corridor roads that are heading out of town, of getting walking or alternative modes going outside of town. Specifically, I'm talking about the route from Walnut Street to at least the Yampa. It is a very scary three-quarter mile stretch. Reminds me a lot of the same issues with County Road 36, where you instantly get out of town in a very peaceful environment right next to the river, but to get there, it's somewhat terrifying. Our traffic has changed a lot in the last few years. Couple other quick ones. School, I know all of you are aware, and I think Matt has come over and talked to you about the really exciting opportunity our community has on the secondary school.
He's going to.
Great. So we are very excited that things are moving forward on that. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of partnerships. And I know many of us feel like it's beyond that it's something that really can be an asset for all of our county and the surrounding counties. For fairgrounds, just please keep that in mind. It is another huge asset and tremendous opportunity for Hayden to do more. We annually, Buck Brannaman comes here. That place is packed. And I continue to go, how in the world can we figure out models or operating aspects, and I know Wendy behind me is working on some great things with that, of using that truly as an asset that will not cost the county, but yet will bring in people to utilize the arena and the facilities in Hayden. Wendy organized a clinic about, is that 4 years ago, that's where?
Yeah, we would have one every year, but that was the biggest one.
The biggest one. Pat Pirelli, who is world-renowned as a horse trainer, came, rode, and participated in the clinic. So there's huge opportunity because every time people come here, they love it. And we are so close to the amenities and the resort aspects of Steamboat, yet just far enough that this is where you want to ride and be with your horse and do activities. So any support with that, and we appreciate how maintenance is trying to be done at the arena, but it's challenging in the winter. The other day, you can't see across the arena. The dust mitigation is extremely challenging. That's all for the moment. Thanks.
Okay. Angie Robinson, Hayden Chair of Planning Commission. I'm wondering how often you guys are going to come to Hayden for public comments?
Right. We're trying a rotation one a year. So, yep, so something like that, and we're still, I would say,
yep.
And then we're still trying that, we're going to have a joint meeting with, we're going to have one with all the municipality boards once a year as well.
Yeah, we've been coming out pretty regularly for joint meetings with the town board on an annual basis. Right. And we thought it would be a good idea if we added this to the mix.
Right.
Do you have something in mind?
No, I was just curious because I hadn't seen you guys come here before. So I wanted to support that. Thank you for coming. And if you were looking for more public comments on the coal energy transition, we should probably put that in a notice on Facebook and stuff, and you would get a lot more people here to talk about that. So I don't know.
Actually, this wasn't, and at the end of the day, I came in from chores and sat down for a second to put something, and it was on Facebook.
But they're looking for more input on the energy transition. Put that on there and get more people to speak on that.
I can tell you one thing about that piece specifically, which is that our state committee that I spoke about, the Just Transition Committee, is planning some outreach and kind of listening tour type of things. And I think that between Ray and myself, we'll bring that crew up this way, and so that we would definitely do outreach to identify that that's a specific topic. During that discussion, that was my.
Do you know of Route County Housing Authority having any intent to look at Hayden for a project?
For a project?
For the Housing Authority.
Oh, for the Housing Authority? So the reality is that the mill levy that's generated by the taxes that are generated by the mill levy are within what's around Steamboat Springs. So the taxpayers that are contributing to that, their expectation is that the affordable housing will be created in or and around Steamboat Springs. So that's not to say that the Housing Authority would not consider a project out this way, but as it stands right now, they're concentrating on Steamboat.
Given the current funding source that they have, which is that tax.
So when we created the Housing Authority and the rest, so we had this long-term conversation about it, and we decided to keep it within the Steamboat area, and we made the boundaries be the same as the Steamboat Rural Fire Department, because at that point in time, right or wrong, that's where the most need was. And at that point in time, being on the commissioners as well as being on the Housing Authority, we felt that if we were to take it outside into the South Route or the West Route area, there would be more no votes, especially if we were to raise a tax thing, a tax issue. So maybe a little more conservative and maybe not feeling the direct heat from the housing situation. I will say that Matt Mendisco has championed the Housing Authority to open up the down payment assistance loan funds, so they're now eligible for West Route and South Route.
Yeah, and I think that actually at our last meeting of the Housing Authority, there was some talk about what we could do to get some more of that down payment money out the door. So that is, there's not a lot of money there, but every little bit helps.
Mm-hmm. And just a side note, I know this topic doesn't come before you guys, but I would like to know your opinion on the Wolf Reef.
So it's getting weird. I really appreciate your
input.
She's
so innocent.
Yeah, I know. Look at her.
I just like to know your stance on the topic.
So I'll lead off. I'm personally uncomfortable with the Route County Commissioners taking a position one way or the other on Wolf reintroduction. I will tell you that personally, I'm not in favor of Wolf reintroduction. I think there's a lot of problems with it. I don't know that we have the open spaces like they have up in Wyoming and Montana that would really support a Wolf reintroduction. But I worry a lot when we as commissioners take positions on hot button social issues. You know, we were approached by a number of people last year that wanted us to declare Route County to be a sanctuary county from the red flag belt. And I understand the concerns of the people, but I worry very much that the really important work that we need to do in terms of a just transition, transportation issues, affordable housing issues, the things that are really important to the people of Rock County, that we could lose a lot of credibility and a lot of support from the community if we weighed in on that. And I know that sounds a little bit like I'm being a chicken on it, and honestly, I'll fess up to that because I just don't want to wade in to the middle of that kind of a hot button issue.
Go for it, Doug.
So I'm definitely opposed to it. Absolutely, I don't think the population thing, but I appreciate Commissioner Corrigan's position on it, and you know, I try to avoid putting the county commissioner's seal on any position on that. But there's some huge fatal flaws in this whole thing. Number one, the dollars are going to be coming out of the game fund, and that's funded by licenses. And the licenses are already, the license fund and the rest, and we got our CPW guy back here in the back, but I know what's happening in the license fund. That license fund already funds the endangered species. This ballot initiative didn't come with any general fund money, so we're going to have the taxpayers, which I sincerely despise, the voters doing scientific operation of game management. So I severely despise that. But at the same point in time, I guess we'll all have to make our statements, and I don't think it should have been on the ballot box. I think it's very interesting now that we seem to have a pack of six, maybe two packs of six west of us, and we've already sat through a bunch of Club 20 meetings of discussing all this situation, and the fact that we already maybe have a threatened species that's here, and then CPW having to come in and get permission from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to even reintroduce that. So the best thing all of us can do on this whole thing is get the real information, get educated. I think, but my fear, the biggest fear I have, is the monies that the hunters and fishermen put into the license fees are going to be paying for this. And we're already short of money in that fund, and we should be taking care of projects that need to be done and taking care of our wildlife officers. So,
just to tag on to that, the idea that this is being will be decided by a vote of the public, including everybody that lives on the Front Range, that's just not the way we should be doing wildlife science. So for that reason alone, I'm personally opposed, but I'm really hoping that we as a group of county commissioners don't actually issue a resolution on this.
This is something that I felt like I didn't really have any background knowledge and I wasn't really sure, and I think that it speaks to the point about the voters deciding this is a little bit problematic. And I had a really great discussion with Chris Middledorf from CPW, and he was very neutral. He did a great job, but walked me through what this would look like and what it would mean. And I think there's huge unknowns, including what the impact would actually look like, you know, and how positive or negative it would be. And there's a lot of, I think, blowing the conversation kind of out of proportion on both sides, quite frankly, in terms of it's going to destroy everything or it's going to fix everything. The idea that we have the ability to reset our ecosystem, I think, is really problematic. Humans have been impacting this ecosystem for a really, really long time, and the idea that the reintroduction of one species would fix that seems somewhat flawed to me. I tend to agree with Tim that, this is my personal opinion on it, and that for Rout County to take a position is maybe not the right thing to do, but I would want to defer to who I consider our wildlife expert, which is CPW, and our, you know, they've said, no thanks, this isn't what we want to do, and we don't think it's needed, and so that would be the best opinion I think that I could give, is just to defer to the expert. Do you
want to
say anything?
My name is Justin Pollock. I'm a district wildlife manager here in Hayden. And my supervisor, Chris, asked me to come, thinking this might be a...
Might come up?
Well, Chris, he could have come himself. He decided to throw you under the bus.
He's going to the wolves.
Yeah.
I tend to agree. I think the hard thing for me is that under the fair campaign practices, Colorado Parks and Wildlife can't have an opinion. Mm-hmm. And we need to give a fact-based, which we can do, on a fact-based answer on anything, and be balanced. And sometimes I think I find that, I don't know how else to say it, but sometimes I find it hard to be balanced with an answer to a question. It is a very complex issue. It's an apex predator, and the only other time that I know of or that I can think of is in 1992 when we voted on, or went to a vote for the bears, spring bear hunt.
Amendment 14.
Pardon me?
14.
Amendment 14.
14.
Amendment 14,
yeah.
Yep. That was decided, and I think somebody alluded to that. Actually, two counties decided that for the state of Colorado, and that was El Paso County, which is Colorado Springs, and Denver County. Was all really tough. So that, I have some concerns with that. I mean, I understand. I mean, I think people should be able to vote on these things, but sometimes these, I think you should defer to the experts, and I don't know how you can do that when the experts can't really have an opinion.
No question that the Colorado Constitution is the wrong place to manage wildlife. I think we can all agree on that.
Well, the awkward thing, this is a statutory change, but just as Amendment 14 was a statutory change as well, but nobody ever decided to ever think about bringing it back up and have a reconversation at the legislature.
That's interesting.
14 was it?
Well, it's not a statute. It's an actual ballot measure.
No, I understand that, but whether it's constitutional or a statutory change.
Okay.
And whether it has to be voted on.
And I think there were a couple things that Chris mentioned that really helped me to understand why this is so complex and problematic. I mean, the ballot language doesn't really define the scope of this in terms of how many wolves would be introduced and how much money would that cost and what would that look like. Also the fact that we would be in conflict with the Endangered Species Act, and so until we received permission from the federal government, the state of Colorado couldn't actually do any of this. And so that in and of itself, I think, highlights the complexity of this and the challenge of having the voters decide on something of this that's so scientific in nature.
The way I read it, it would require CPW to come up with a plan to reintroduce wolves by 2023. But we don't have the authority to manage wolves because they're protected under the Endangered Species Act, so the federal government is in charge of wolves. So I mean, how does that work then? We're required to do something that we don't have the authority to do. I don't know. But
maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe it's easy, right?
Yeah. And there were some very huge issues with the bear initiative, with the bear amendment. We worked around that, but it sure has offered us in a lot of ways to manage things when there's a statute that says thou shalt not, it just takes away tools, I guess. So we shall see.
Thanks for weighing in.
Sure.
Well, good. I'm glad we're done talking about it.
Well, Commissioners, Roger Meem, Vice President of Hayden Parks and Recreation. Thanks again for being here tonight. And anyway, for everything that you guys have done for the Hayden Parks and Recreation, I do want to thank you for everything that you've considered and have allowed us to do with your blessings. It's been a real good pleasure to work with you. And we have some projects in mind. I would like to invite you guys to come to one of our park and recreation meetings, and we can talk about, kind of a master plan, because, I want to work together with the commissioners to look at what your boundaries is to your vision, and also as the Hayden Park and Recs, as what our vision is here for the town. And, we've worked together before, greatly appreciate it, and I continue to look forward to working with you guys some more. Big projects.
Well, we've certainly got a little bit of a precedent. We just recently concluded with the town of Oak Creek a really complex series of real estate transactions utilizing money from the purchase of Development Rights Board, us purchasing some property to expand our District 1 road and bridge shop. And we ended up being a very small part of a much bigger project to help create the Oak Creek Mountain Park, which I think is going to be a real jewel for the town of Oak Creek. So I think to the extent that we can engage in working with you folks where everybody benefits, that's great. I mean, it was easy for us. I felt like it was really easy to engage in that process because we ended up for a very small number of dollars with an additional 8 acres of property next to our road and bridge shop in Oak Creek, which is going to allow for long-term future expansion and really help Rock County out in a big way. But by virtue of doing that, it helped Oak Creek achieve what they were trying to achieve. So partnerships are what it's all about, for sure.
Because with the school, you know, we've had 2 baseball fields taken away from us. You know, we're for the overflow of Triple Crown. We need to expand to get some more baseball fields here in Hayden. And you know, if we could look into possibilities and what we can do to work together.
Yeah, I think we're always going to be willing to talk. So it's tough when we talk about money. But
yeah. So I think our joint plan, master, especially the Fairgrounds master plan,
right.
And Jill's back there too, is ripe for, you know, we need to have that conversation. Again, I was here when we bought the piece from West Signs, and then the town bought the other piece from West Signs, and you know, and we came together on that mutual operation agreement and how we were going to do. Again, we bought the piece of property for the furtherance of the fair. That doesn't mean it can't help with the furtherance of the city's recreation thing as well. That's all great, but we don't want to have any long-term encumbrances inhibit what we need to do for the long-term growth of the fair as well. And again, so I mean, that was the kind of situation we ran into with the potential of the playground and the rest, and so, well, yeah, you need to keep that on the Hayden property and not, especially it's a permanent fixture. It needs to stay on the Hayden property. So, but I mean, we're there to joint parking and overfill, and the Triple Crown's good, and
well,
we need a motel down
there,
here so people can start staying. But
yeah, there's lots of things that was discussed before. That, you know, Doug, you're the only one that's on the commission board that even knows. Okay, and that's what I'm saying. You know, we've got new boards, okay? And we've got new people, so I'd appreciate you to spend some time and get on the agenda, and please come to the
send us an invitation, by all means.
I think that's great. I think also just, you know, the playground project here in Hayden, those kinds of things are a big deal in terms of making this a really great place where families want to live and supporting the continued success of Hayden. And so to the extent that we can support those kinds of efforts, I think we should be having those conversations for sure.
Right. That's what I'd like to do is to invite
Absolutely.
You to come talk with us.
Absolutely.
Well, especially the recent donation of the Peabody, the turnaround, I mean, that's a great thing. I mean, it's perfect. So hopefully it will be accommodated and used.
Thank you.
Tammy.
With that concept of that trail, what is your anticipation of how do we get a trail that would go from the airport to town? You know, as a business person, I, especially when flights are delayed or canceled, love to find ways that people have already dropped off their rental car and are just sitting around for several hours having a good day. And one of the thoughts is,
in the winter,
when the
blizzard's coming,
the airport extends pretty close to the town boundary. There,
you should get some snowshoes, Kevin.
Yeah,
hand them out. Yeah,
It's all downhill.
Is there anyone who's had that conversation? I've not heard that as a question before. That's new to me.
I can't remember if it was Vision 20. It's the concept of how do we get more alternative access trails.
Right.
Well, I know we've talked about the trail down 80 to get to to the river. I mean, that's been big on everybody. It's been on Hayden's mind. And, you know, we all know about that, too. And somehow, and Commissioner Corrigan was at the multimodal meeting the other day and challenged. You know, sometimes it runs to money, too. So, you know, we figure out how we can put shoulders on things and how we can, and, you know.
So there are grant opportunities through CDOT for those kinds of projects.
And GoCo.
But the thing, you do have to put together some kind of a plan. You can't go and say, hey, I'd like to build some trails, give me some money. You need to do some, and that was what Doug referred to. I went to the multimodal committee and I challenged them. I said, hey, let's start thinking 20 years out. Right. Let's start looking at some places where this may make sense. And there's always the potential to apply for planning grants. So you could actually hire a consultant to come in and say, hey, you know, this might be a place you could do it, but this is what it's probably going to cost. This is what it's going to take to build it, and then you can go out and start looking for the real money. But I think when we talk about those things, we're going to be thinking really long-term.
So it's really looking at how do we get into the master plan, how do we get into the Hayden Parks and Rec plan, because, you know, I think if I was at an airport and suddenly had the opportunity of half a mile away to get on a four-mile loop,
it sounds to me like you're taking those first steps right now.
Yeah.
It's just a long road. But, engage us in conversation about it. And I think the multimodal might not be a bad place to engage. Those folks meet on a every two-month basis, I think. If you call Mike Morty at our Public Works Department, he sits on that committee and can put you in touch with them. So we'll see. You know, for example, the city of Steamboat Springs applied for and got, they haven't got it yet. They've applied for a grant to create a trail that will connect over to Silver Spur.
And Steamboat 2.
And Steamboat 2 all the way back to the core trail, including an underpass under U.S. Highway 40. Years in the making, a lot of work done by city's engineering staff to get to the point where they were ready to go and ask for the money. And I think it's going to be a dirt trail. And the biggest expense will be getting underneath Highway 40. But, you know, it's like a $500,000 project for a couple of miles.
Along those trail lines, you know, I know there's the lodging tax right now, and there's a keep wild with someone grounded upon that premise of going, how could funding like that be used instead for...
So that's an issue for the state legislature. So you know, the lodging tax is required to be used for marketing. It cannot be used for any other purpose.
So how is that then being funded? Because I know the bike trails that are going into kind of...
So again, it's the accommodations tax.
It's the accommodations?
Out of the city of Steamboat Springs. Okay. And they had a ballot initiative out of the city of Steamboat Springs. So their 2% accommodations tax was then approved by the Steamboat voters to go to... I don't know, maybe it wasn't.
So that's a different tax.
I'm talking wrong.
Because
we researched and asked...
There's a difference between the lodging tax and the accommodations tax.
You're right.
Okay. Two separate
taxes. There's a core group that really would like to get into some pretty extreme mountain bike trails, and I keep on going, how do we use this for the highest and best use of core trails that connect our communities and connect our guys?
Big complex questions.
Mm-hmm. We've asked whether we could use the lodging tax, and the lodging tax is restricted to only marketing.
Which is different
than the accommodations.
Last year in the state legislature, there were a group of county commissioners that attempted to see that tax be repurposed potentially for the purpose of affordable housing, because that, you know, the you know, as we bring more and more people into the communities, we need the housing. And it just fell on deaf ears in the legislature. There was not the appetite to go there yet.
But I think that city accommodations tax, so I don't think there's a simple answer to your question. Mm-hmm. I think that there was a plan, a trails plan that was developed in prior to that ballot initiative, and that was approved as a part of the ballot mm-hmm. initiative. And, you know, it was approved by the voters. And there is a committee, I believe, that administers that funding, but they really defer to that plan. And I think the plan lays out some things that maybe the community doesn't fully agree with anymore, or at least some portions of the community. And my understanding, I haven't looked at it.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And there were specific projects that were part of the ballot measure. So therefore, they have to limit what they're going to do to those specific projects. And my impression is that there were a long laundry list of projects, and they probably got enough money to do the first two or three, and that's about it.
And then this is sort of just hearsay, but my understanding is that maybe some of the messaging around that ballot initiative didn't totally match up with what was in that plan, and that there were some folks who understood that it was going to support core trail extension, that kind of thing. And whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that I've just heard rumblings of that to your question about what's going on. Yeah.
So there's also a group called the Route Recreation Roundtable that's meeting on a regular basis to talk about the long-term future of recreation in Route County. There's a lot of conversations around you know, where recreational activities should take place, where they should not take place. And that would be a good opportunity to engage as well. And that was kind of driven by a negative response from a group of citizens around county about the potential for wildlife issues up on the Mad Rabbit Project.
Your nephew.
Specifically.
Was one of them. Absolutely. It was a great cause.
Yeah.
Need to have a conversation.
I still feel, because that was envisioned 2030 time and time again, under transportation, under recreation, under so many things, of finding a connection, alternate connections throughout the valley from the communities.
I think you still have support for that here.
Anything else? Want to be respectful of everybody's time? Joe?
Can I just address the fairgrounds real quick?
Yep.
Some concerns, just to give you guys an update. We know it's been super dusty, and so what we're doing, actually, the commissioners have done a huge support for us for our 2020 budget. Right now, we're experiencing growing pains until that actually happens. I was just looking the other day, our multi-use building and the open riding. We have increased usage exponentially. So based strictly on revenue, from January 1st through the 9th, we have exceeded revenue this year than we made in all of 2017. So in 9 days, we made more than we made in all of 2017. And we still have people that aren't signing in and paying, and we're working on that again.
I think it's cool. It's great.
Yes. So when I put those numbers to paper the other day, I thought, oh my gosh, no wonder it's super dusty over there. And it's just as more people come, and we have the Buck Brandman clinics, and Creven Order's putting on her clinics, and Wendy's been doing her clinics, people are figuring out that the fairgrounds is a nice place to be. And so they're telling their friends, we've a contingency from Craig that's coming over to ride, and people are calling me every day, and it's just, wow. It's insane right now with that and everything else. And the RV park is insane. That's exploded more than we ever thought it would. So we are working on that. We're aware of that. And even this year in 2020, we've got some plans. It's just a matter of getting there. So for this spring period, this winter period right now, we just ask that you be patient and know that we are working, and it'll be better next winter. And we're putting together a committee again, as you guys know, just haven't got there yet, to help us move forward with how can we all work together within our budget and our resources to move forward with the fairgrounds as we're growing. And but yeah.
Well, specifically, we heard some plans about what to do with the
water,
the water tank on the
groomer,
the piece of equipment,
piece of equipment,
driving around that
thawed out,
challenges that it's we don't have a building to keep it warm in.
Correct.
So it sounds like we've got some kind of a plan to move forward on that, right?
Well, we're working on that. The new Dragmaster, which I think is the groomer, which is also part of the reason because it's helped with the footing so much. We have all these people that are coming, but we have no barn with heat, and we have a 1-inch water hose where we get water out of the bathhouse to fill the Dragmaster with water. So it takes an hour and a half just to fill that, and then you gotta go, and it can freeze sometimes in there. So we're working towards how do we fix that problem, and where can we park the tractor and keep it warm and keep everything from freezing and the water issue. That's what we're working on. Those are our priorities for this year for us, for maintenance, just because it's insane right now. I can't. And if you ever have, call me anytime. You have questions, I know it's dusty, and I'll just to help you understand and know that we're doing something about it.
Have there been an analysis of like putting dust suppression, the cost of that versus like the man hours and all that water? Like, are we getting?
We are doing dust suppression.
Okay, when is that? I have a lot of people asking about that.
When we sent our maintenance guy to the League of Agriculture and Equestrian Centers footing clinic, that's where we ended up with the Dragmaster and dust suppression that does not cost us every 3 years. It's
right.
A gallon that costs us $175 and that lasts us a few months. Right now it's a matter of getting enough maintenance time to get in there and apply that and then go back a couple days later to make sure we're getting it in there. So right now it's time and kind of heat and tractor issues, but we're working on that. We just had a big meeting about it today, so we're getting there. New dust suppression is much more affordable than the arena arts we used years ago.
And
so.
I think if you were open to it, I think there'd be a strong volunteer
that
would help out.
There's at least two in our family.
And we talked about that too.
Just
even this morning.
It doesn't have to be the Dragmaster, just even the simple harrow.
I brought up this morning briefly the Ranger and the harrow, because back in the day it was me with Ranger and the harrow on Sunday mornings, you know. So we talked about that. We'll have to go in front of, take it in front of the legal department and the commissioners once again to make sure we can have, back in the day we had people like you, you could sign a waiver, we can train you on the equipment, and then we give you a Heidi key so that when you're there you can arrow if you want. So that'll be coming before you guys, just to kind of help.
I'm totally in support of free labor.
Yeah, just to help get us through this transition period, but just so you know that we are working on that.
Because that's the best. I know my son has said he would love to groom it after we ride. Just
sure.
A lot of arenas are groomed 2-3 times a day.
Exactly.
But if we can't keep down the dust, every time you harrow it, it makes the dust worse. So so unless we get some, figure out how to get the water in there and get some moisture in the ground and don't freeze the grass. So.
Doesn't that freeze up sound when we do that? Doesn't
that
create problems?
There was one year we had sprinklers on the top of the rails, and we did it that way. It took hours. I mean, the maintenance hours was insane. And then the ground froze when we were using just water. And then
I remember that, but it ended up being an ice pad, basically.
Yes. So it's really, I think we've got the tools right now as far as grooming the arena. Now we just need the time. And kind of the space for the tractor and the heat. So.
Yeah, because I think even if you needed money, we could do a drive, and each of us could kick it. I mean, I think we could help out. So, just a thought.
Very good.
Thank you. Anything else? Hearing none? I declare this meeting adjourned.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you all for being here. We appreciate it.